in his hometown, highly thought of, came in and had a full-blown cirrhosis of the liver. He's now in intensive care. We just stepped in here. He was moved Saturday. Him and on Friday was moved Saturday. He's now in coma. Whether he'll smile or not, it's hard to tell. Just think of it. 46. Well, that often takes by surprise. You probably have given up drinking for some time, for years. And there's no alcohol at all in his system. Then you go back on it, and you're still an alcoholic. You will take more than you should. An alcoholic never drinks moderately. But the more he drinks, the more he wants. So, very often it becomes an acute cirrhosis. You know, the cirrhosis of the liver are very often fatal. Liver damage is a serious thing. The liver is the storage house of the body. However, if you want this program to work, you must give it everything. Your very best. Don't get the notion, well, if I don't get it here, I can go somewhere else. Or I can get it at a later date. There are three D's that we usually stress. We had a very fine member, Jack Darrow was his name, God rest his soul. He was in this 23 years when he died. And he always spoke of the three D's as a very necessary qualification. First of all, a sincere desire. A sincere desire for sobriety and to be the person you always wanted to be. You didn't want to keep going up and down and up and down and gradually you got at the last rung. There aren't many of you that have gotten a skid row. Although someone said the other day, skid row is in your head. 20 and think, oh, what's the difference? I might just as well keep on drinking. And sometimes you think, well, what if I do die? That'll end it all. Well, don't be too sure about it. Because when you come to die, you're not a bit ready. You'd like to have a little more time. But a sincere desire is the first C. Because that desire is at the bottom of your heart. Most everything that you do, if you have a sincere desire, you will accomplish it. From the time you were a little child, there was something you really wanted. You did everything to accomplish it. Even in your childlike way. You did it because for your parents, or the thing you wanted to have, or you would do everything to gain that, accomplish that desire. But as you've grown older, you still have pretty important desires. Well, this is the most important one because your life depends on it. And your happiness for time and eternity depends on the accomplishment of this sincere desire. That is the first G. Desire or sobriety. You have a real ardent desire. That's a very good qualification. The second G is decision. Decide now what you're going to do and when. Not next month, next week. Now is the acceptable time. Don't dally with that thought. Don't put off your intention to change your brand, as I say, your liquor. But not only the liquor, but everything. Your whole mode of life changes. If you're going to associate with the same old companions and do the same thing that you have been doing, in all probability, within a short time, it was that drinking thing. That's why we try to build up a new fellowship here, so that you'll find you have plenty of friends, good friends who do not drink. We have I had a call from a man in Akron, a sponsor call, and wanted to bring a friend of his who was a speaker. We wouldn't have had a bed until Thursday night. He called on Wednesday, so I said, well, bring him Thursday. Thursday evening, the sponsor called and said, Sister, please cancel that requisition for a bed, because my patient doesn't want a bed now. He thinks he can do it on his own very well. I was glad, because the house, the department was pretty well covered. So, the following Sunday, this man quarreled with his wife and killed her. When you're drinking, you're so irritable. You start trouble with nothing. Just the drop of a hat, as they say. Nothing. The poor wife, I suppose, was pretty nervous, worn out, and worried. And probably she said something that irritated him. Whatever it was, he has to live with it the rest of his life. No doubt any of you Akron boys, are there any Akron boys here today? You know, they always have some, but it was written up in the Akron papers and they all knew about it. It happened this past year. Had he followed that decision to take the program, you can see yourself that the idea of getting out of your environment, getting away from your old companions, and from all these irritating situations, and being placed in a new environment, and everything different, different people, and we gradually taper you off. Then we give you the AA philosophy. It helps a great deal, but you must be disarmed before you accept that. Because if you're still doing alcoholic thinking, it wouldn't be natural. Take effect. So we devote most of our time, for the first 24 hours at least, to 48 hours, in getting you in good physical condition. The doctor gives you a thorough physical examination, and you are x-ray. If necessary, we do a cardiograph, get blood counts and all this. So by the end of 48 hours, the doctor has a pretty good idea whether you have some other serious illness or something that would need immediate treatment rather than just the alcohol. Generally, the alcohol covers up everything. You feel sorry for yourself and you just take another drink. But however, under the expert supervision of our medical men, we should know just what the situation is. You probably neglected your health for a long time. You wouldn't go to a doctor. He might ask you to stop drinking. So he just soon got bothered. Generally, people came in, such as this man who came the other day, haven't been near a doctor for a month. So they're drinking. And they just don't like to go to a doctor. On the other hand, some of them go to a doctor and exaggerate their symptoms so that he doesn't know just how to treat them. Doctor doesn't like to take care of an alcoholic because he can't get the truth. Sometimes he'll give them sedatives, tranquilizers, things of that kind. Generally, though, a doctor who knows something about this alcoholism will not give them medicine of that type because they soon become addicted to it. Well, however, the second D is decision. Make a decision. It's what you do today that counts, not tomorrow. Tomorrow isn't yours yet. Yesterday is gone. Concentrate on today and try to do it today. I have a little phone here to bring that out. It says, today is all sufficient for the burdens we must bear. Today is ours to live, to love, our brother's sorrow share. Tomorrow never comes to us, and yesterday is gone. Therefore, today is all time we have to build upon. Tomorrow is as far away as yesterday has seen. So put your shoulder to the wheel and do the things you dream today. Just one day, they ask you to live just 24 hours. Live hour by hour. If you live well this hour, it'll be easier the next hour. In the presence of counsel. All right, the third D then is determination. Desire, decision, determination. Please paraphrase those, the meaning, get the meaning of these words, and apply them, and I believe you'll find a lot of help. Determination. Oh, in the past you all said, I'll never take another drink. I'll never take another drink. I'm finished. Never is a long, long time. So, today you won't take a drink with God's help. Ask God to help you. Do you think that He's pleased that you're a strong way to get the life that He gave you by living this type of life? Oh, no. Make a decision that today you will not take a drink. I'm sure that everyone in this room who's already been tapered off, we do give you the new men, we give them a little to taper them off, because where the trouble is with I mean, many people get withdrawal symptoms. And you can't get yourself off too fast. We don't try to get you off immediately. But don't ever try to taper yourself. If you do, it'll be from one to the other. You want to have just one more drink. That's all. By the time that's gone, you want just one more. Don't try it. Be much better to do it under proper direction. Well, there was a man who I heard of. I didn't meet him. But he was a very heavy drinker, and he was a regular pest as far as his friends were concerned. Because he'd spend all his money and then he'd beg his friends to buy him a drink, just one more and then I'll go home. Well, they'd buy him a drink and he'd want another. He kept that up. He'd panhandle, do anything to get a drink. So they got sick and tired of him. Finally, the word went around that he had joined AA. Well, his friends were delighted. He won't have to be buying any more drinks. He's changed entirely. Fine. They were delighted. So, when he came out of the hospital, of course he saw his friends and he said, "Oh, I'm an AA now." He said, "It's wonderful. It's easy." So the only thing is, just don't take that first drink. Well, that was easy enough, not to take the first drink. So they said, "Oh, come on, let's talk it over. We'd like to know how this AA works too. Let's go into the old joint, the bar room, and you can get soft drinks. You don't have to drink anything, any hard liquor or anything." "Oh, no, I wouldn't take the first drink." So they were very happy, celebrating his sobriety. So they ordered up, and they sent to Pat, I think was his name. We'll call him Pat anyway. They said, "What would you like?" "Oh, I'll take a soft drink," he said. So the bartender said, "All right, Pat, I'll bring you a soft drink." Well, the bartender started off, and Pat called him back. He said, "Come here," he said, "I tell you what you do. Bring me two what? Two double headers." "What?" They said, "We taught you quit drinking." "Oh, I won't take that first drink. I'll put the first one over here. And then I'll drop the second one." That's determination. Well, don't forget the three D's, though. Desire, decision, determination. I'll ask you about those probably one of these fine days. Well, do try to put your shoulder to the wheel. Try to do your best. It pays off. You'll find that you'll fill your life with other things. Now probably it's hard to see where you're going to keep busy, because the main recreation you had was just to get a drink. Couldn't wait until the time to quit work to get a drink. Oh, you don't all have that pattern, but many do. We talk about a coffee break. Well, you have your breaks. Did have. You look for these breaks, so you better change to coffee or something else. Because you're going lots of nothing to keep this up. I'd like to have you do some reading while you're here, too. Read the Alcoholics Anonymous. First of all, whether you read it or not, try to read it slowly. Read at least one chapter a day. And if you have time, read more. Read especially chapter 5, how it works. That's very helpful. And don't put off the important things. Try to develop your life of prayer, your contact with God. Ask His help. You're all God's children. He loves you. He's created you because He loves you. He has given you many, many gifts. Life, you didn't even ask for life. You weren't able to ask. God gave you life. He gave you an IQ so that you would earn your livelihood. And how many things have never been to that? But what deteriorates as treating that? Well, you know better than anyone else. Industry now realizes the detriment it is to have an alcoholic working for them. He is losing his good judgment, sense of judgment, and he says, really a great detriment to the company. They speak of one the other day who went into his plant and he almost caused it. Terrific catastrophe by turning on the wrong lever. Could have killed everyone in the plant. It meant thousands of dollars. Well, of course, you won't have a position if you keep this up. However, industry has gone into this, and they are very eager to give their men who've been with them a long time, whose experience is invaluable to them. They're glad to give them every opportunity to carry out this AA program. In the early days, if we even spoke of anyone drinking or alcoholism, just meant that the man will lose his job. There was one man visiting yesterday, Tony was his name, and when he came in here, he was much like this other one, this man who had the cirrhosis I told you about. Well, he had seemed to have quite a advanced case of cirrhosis. His liver was enlarged and everything. So we transferred him to another department because he needed intensive medical care. Well, he was here for quite a long time. When he left and returned to work, the head men saw such a change in him that they said, well, my, if AA program can do this, something like this, let us open up the cafeteria and let them use that for their meetings. They've been meeting there ever since. And hundreds of their men have been. It's much better to tell your boss the truth. Tell him the fact. If it's advisable, some these people don't know much about her, but give them some literature. AA and Industry. They have many little pamphlets out. But to sum it all up, I have too much time to talk to you now. But I'd like to ask you to say a little prayer every morning before you leave the house. Maybe that little prayer that you say will save you from a very serious accident. Ask God's protection and His help for the day. I have a little poem. I don't recall it all just now, but since I got up early one morning and I went right into the day, I had so much to accomplish. I didn't have time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me. Heavier became each cross. Heavier became each task. I wondered why God didn't help me. Or the little voice inside said, "You didn't even ask." Our Lord has said, "Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, nothing shall be open to you." You don't ask, how do you expect to receive? Well, I got up early this morning and I paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish. I had to take time to pray. And I don't recall one of the stanzas, but I'll get it all one of these days. But it's very good. The men who have made us and the women have asked sincerely. Still, the founders said, "Oh God, help me. God, help me." That's all he knew at the time. He had gotten away from God. "God, give me light, give me strength, give me courage." Just lift up your mind and heart to God. He loves you and will help you as you ask him. One of our men who had been here, he came from out of town. But he told me that they came back to the sister. "I made one resolution while I was here, that was never to leave the house without saying a little prayer. I tried it and it has worked. I was going to the bathroom in the morning and locked the door and kneeled down and said a little prayer." Neil learned to bend your knees instead of your elbows. You'll get much farther. Kneel your elbow for a long time. Bend your knees. Well, you can pray without getting on your knees. I know that. But ask God sincerely to help you. So he said he did that every day. And also in the evening, he thanked God for helping me. So one evening, one of the children was in the bathroom. He couldn't get in. So I thought, what's the difference? I kneeled down by my bedside, which he did. Well, his wife came back in. She shook him. He said, "What's wrong?" So he had a stroke. He said, "Leave me alone. I'm just saying my prayers." She almost had a stroke then. She never seen prayer before. Well, I would like to say much to you, but we'll gradually work with this. And be able to tell me something tomorrow that you read in your big A book to stretch. Something. I'll just expected here or not. Is there, are there any questions of any of that? I may not be able to answer them all, but I'll try to answer one anyway. No? You all know the problem perfectly and everything. Well, think it over and I'll ask you tomorrow. Let's say a little prayer now and we'll call it good. In the name of the Father, the I will say to our Father and explain to you what it means as far as I can. Our Father who art in heaven. The apostles asked our Lord to teach them how to pray. He said, pray thus. Our Father who art in heaven. God is your Father. He loves you. He has provided for you and will provide. He's your best friend to all your struggles and your disappointments, everything. Everything you have has come from him. Our Father who art in heaven. Heaven is our home. God has created us to know him, to love him and serve him in this world and be happy with him forever. Amen. Hallowed be thy name. That means to honor the name of God. People who curse and swear bring down curses on their own heads. It's a terrible thing. If your vocabulary is so impoverished that you can't get the attention of anyone only by swearing and cursing, leave the thing unsaid, be much better. Hallow and honor the name of God. Thy kingdom come, the kingdom of God is within you. Lift up your heart to God. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, serenity to accept God's holy will. Often our disappointment is God's appointment. He deprives us of certain things we think are imperative. Well, he knows what's best for us. He's going to give us something better. Showing that you have trust in him. Dear Lord, if that's what you want, it's all right with me. You know best. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. That means the strength to earn our daily bread and the opportunity to earn it. And ask his help every day. Thank him for the wonderful gifts he has given you over the years. When you were born and helpless little creature, if he hadn't had kind hands there to minister unto you and take care of you and feed you, where would you be today? Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. Don't lead yourself into temptation. Stay away from them. From the old pals. They're going to say, oh, you're a sissy if you can't take a drink. What's the matter with you? Well, you know yourself that you can't stop at one, two, or three. You can't handle the stuff it handles you. So, when you run down, I'll give you a little card that tells you that. So, keep close to God and do your best. All right, thank you.